Hi, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of Baseless Speculation. I'm your wonderful and smart, handsome, if you will, and definitely well-rested host, Joel Zammit. And I'm joined with my beautiful co-host, Jackson Bailey. You want to say hi to the audience?
Yeah, hello.
This yeah, thank you very me. Much. And unfortunately, our wonderful host, you know, our you know, co-host,
yeah,
Joel Dusher is away. And so joining me is a beautiful guest, Adam Carnevale. Do you want to say hi, Adam Carnevale?
Hello. Hi. It's now, nice to be here.
Yeah. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
The tone of this BS anytime. Is crazy, dude. You're not here normally? It's not like this.
What's it normally like? Give me the introduction. I would normally be there.
mostly yelling. Shut up! Shut up!
Shut up! I wasn't listening. Let me talk.
Yeah. That's sort of the normal vibe.
Is it good for a? Is it good for media when everyone's talking over each other?
I hope so. Yeah. For our sake. Like,
I mean,
for our careers, dude.
Yes.
I goddamn hope so.
So, boys, with the success of the Fallout TV series and with Fallout Season 2, like, you know, hot on the heels of this very
this
episode.
This December, as of time of recording.
Mm-hmm. What do we think?
Meaningless power. Just this December.
Yeah, this December.
Could be any month other than December.
Yeah.
Could still be December.
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
So on the heels of Season 2 Fallout coming out this December, what would your ideal Elder Scrolls movie or TV series look like?
So, I think people have been kind of wondering if this is going to happen, like, because they have adapted the Fallout TV.
People are loving fantasy TV shows right now.
For people being like, what's the connection? One is a fantasy game and one is a post-apocalyptic. What is going on?
Adam Punk.
So Bethesda, make both.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's the connection.
They
That's
are
the connection.
Sort of sisters, not twins in the video game world.
Yeah,
you know, like you sort of... Yeah, in fact, I think
what often, does that mean? Sisters, not twins.
I hear it often in the context of how your breasts and balls should look.
What?
No, I immediately get that. I immediately get that because your balls and your breast. Well, actually, balls. One ball is always sitting slightly higher than the other one. So,
well, because so sometimes you know if people feel uncomfortable about the state of their tits and they say, "Oh, I wish my tits were better," and you go, "Hey," and you're like, "One of my tits is askew or whatever. I'm horrible," and people say, "No, this is a PSA from me to you. Your breasts should be sisters, not twins, and your balls should be sisters." Not twins.
Your eyes, though, should be twins.
Well, no, I think everybody has an eye a little bit lower than the other.
I guess if you're not, I guess,
Isn't nothing on you needs to be twins.
Isn't there like some theory about being attractive people? Yeah, symmetry. Like people we.
So we're more attracted to twins, not sisters.
Symmetrical faces.
Twins, Basil.
Twins, Basil.
I don't know why I did that, like Wallace from Wallace and Gromit.
Because I do it. I do that. You're stealing from me. I love doing that.
Twins, Basil.
Can we do it in unison?
Yeah, okay.
Three, two,
twins, Basil.
Yeah, that was really good.
Perfect. Real good stuff.
I don't see Wallace from Wallace and Gromit as a sexual being, really. I don't think.
No, yeah. I agree.
Like
I feel he's very asexual.
Yeah,
well, I was going to ask, asexual or Ken Doll-esque?
No, asexual.
Asexual? Because I see Ken Doll.
Really? You don't think he has a penis or balls?
He wants to have sex so bad.
But he was born with nothing down there, so he's just incapable. That's really sad.
I think if they gave him little claymation genitals, it would be a very different movie.
It's really easy to imagine claymation dick and balls on Wallace. I can picture that really easily. And I think if I worked
cut or uncut?
In my mind, he's uncut. He's got a wormy.
I was also thinking uncut.
Hey, same.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Do you think if you worked at Aardman, I love the idea of, you know, they're making a new Wallace and Gromit, and they're like, "Anna Jackson, one of our animators, what are you working on?" And I'm like, "Oh, I made a dick and balls for Wallace." And the guy doing the tour says, "I'm really sorry, I brought you here."
Two things, Jackson, two things really quickly.
Yeah.
First off, what? Second off, You made them human sized.
Well, I need as a model for me to make the smaller ones.
We don't do them human sized.
Well, no, well, I need to make
I figured, you know, you could then scale it down.
Exactly. Well, but this is my example.
Yeah.
This is my baseline so I can get the folds and the wrinkles correct.
And the vein.
You're fired.
Well, I knew this was coming one day.
Pack up your claymation dick and balls and get the hell out of here.
And then just like a smash comes to me on the bus holding the big claymation dick and balls.
It's like, so I can keep this, right? This is my intellectual property.
I was imagining a briefcase that was bulging on either side.
That's a big claymation.
That's a big claymation dick and nuts, dude.
Well done. Any hoops?
Yes.
Well, thank you for that clarification.
Hey,
I
you're welcome.
This
so, yes, the Fallout TV show is very successful.
Mm.
And people have been sort of questioning if Bethesda's other, you know, massive game series.
Yeah.
Starfield. Little joke for the gamers out there. No, yeah. The Elder Scrolls, which is their fantasy series, which involves games like, or includes games like Oblivion, Morrowind, Skyrim, ESO, The Elder Scrolls Online, if they're going to turn that into a TV show or a movie as well.
Yeah.
I was always more of an Elder Scrolls guy than a Fallout guy.
Yeah.
I think in my heart. I know
I'm
you,
Fallout.
Adam, you're Johnny Fallout.
Although if you look at my Steam if you look at my Steam time, it's Skyrim, but I think that's only because I'd never I played a bunch of Oblivion, but I'd mainline Skyrim.
Yeah.
Whereas opposed with Fallout, I you know, Fallout 3, Fallout New Vegas, and Fallout 4. I enjoy, I wouldn't say evenly, but, you know.
Yeah, well, I think it's weird for me. I think I have almost the opposite, where I think of the Elder Scrolls games, I've actually only played Skyrim and a little bit of Morrowind back in the day. But I've played more Skyrim and Morrowind than I have all of the Fallout games or whatever combined. I do think, Adam, you said before that, the fantasy TV show is doing well right now.
Mm.
Was that sarcastic?
Now that you have revisited
it. In what way?
Yeah, because I could make an argument for either one.
Yeah.
Well, now that you've revisited it, I actually, not as you revisited it, as I said it, I'm going to finish saying it. I realized that I'm probably
wrong.
Yes. I'm thinking of maybe about a decade ago where you were getting loads of them.
Mm.
Like, you remember stuff like The Legend of the Seeker,
yeah,
stuff like that, where people were like, wait a minute, fantasy can be low budget if you're clever about it.
What's that TV show? It's a fantasy TV show, possibly still Outlander.
Oh, yeah.
Outlander.
Does Outlander have aliens in it?
I don't know. So my experience with Outlander is, of course, being like, oh, people should, you know, what? It's a very, very good show. So I was like, oh, yeah, I'll download a bunch of it because I'm on an international flight from, say, Melbourne to London. So I'm going to take a bunch of it.
So you've seen the show?
Yeah, a bunch of it on my iPad to watch in the comfort of my plane seat. And it was an uncomfortable watch, the point where I'm like, I need to turn this
too horny?
Uncomfortable.
Yeah. Like,
that's what it's based on romance novels.
Well, no, it's wonderful. Yeah. Like,
Horny content is good.
Like, again, something you don't really see a lot of.
Do they show hog?
A lot of I don't know. A lot of eating out.
I believe they do.
A lot of wonderful eating out. And I'm like, this is great, but I can't do this on a plane.
You can't be watching that in a flight, dude.
It's fine. Anyone who,
I watched the Dracula film, the more recent one. What's his name?
Nosferatu.
And there's a lot of titty in that, and a good little fuck scene. And I watched that in the plane, and I'm like, this is awkward. I don't want to watch this.
Antichrist on a flight with me once, dude.
He
should not have done that. They split a penis in half in that show.
My firm opinion, and I will die on this hill, is that if someone else is looking at your screen, that's their problem.
No, I don't know.
On a flight. Everyone gets their own screen for a reason.
On a flight where there is also children around, I don't want to see someone tongue deep in some sort of medieval coups, and I'm like,
you put a kid on a plane, you're doing it at your own risk. That's my opinion.
So anyway, I did enjoy what I was watching.
Yeah.
I think it's got one of the guys from the British guy from, I want to say he's Pirates of the Caribbean, the stuck up guy, who Miss Swan was maybe.
Oh, what's his name? Cotter? No.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh,
what you mean,
yes. The guy's name is Cutter.
Yeah.
I think him,
the character,
the actor, I think he's in it.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, I've heard it's quite beloved. It's very horny, which I think is great.
Yeah.
But also, I once accidentally, and I forget somehow, stumbled onto the wiki and learned there's That's right. It was after I'd read Beowulf.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
And I was, I forget why, I somehow, maybe I was looking up Grendel from Beowulf, and they were like, yeah, there's a character in Outlander, and maybe I'm thinking of someone else. Well, let me know. Send us an email at bsboyspod@gmail.com and
say,
Jackson, you're an idiot. Well, but actually, send it in. Don't just send that. Send it in response to what
don't
I'm about
forget
to say.
Give us reasons why.
Give us five stars.
Five
and say, Jackson,
stars,
you're an idiot.
Jackson is an idiot. Yeah. You can say Jackson's an idiot if you give it five
that's,
stars.
That's okay. Yeah. That's the deal. Yeah. But no, it was, there's an alien in Outlander called the Grendel, which is like from a crashed UFO, which seems crazy. I know the show has time travel in it, but anyway.
Anyhoops.
It made me very animated.
Could you be thinking of the film? Because I think...
No.
The film? There's an Outlander film?
Apparently, yeah.
I thought you meant the Beowulf film.
I'm pulling the computer guy and I'm Googling.
You are taking the Joel Duce spot.
No, I think it's funny.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, but yes, Game of Thrones.
I was gonna say Game of Thrones was like, high. Everyone's like, oh my god, we can do fantasy and we can do it well. Yeah. Like, it's really cool. And then, like, you know, the last seasons came out, everyone was like,
yeah.
But then, like, I think people kind of forgot about how bad maybe those seasons were because then House of the Dragon came out.
House of the Dragon, yeah, you
similar
got...
issues. It's like
Lord of the Rings. Ugh.
Lord of the Rings, yeah.
People Lord of the Rings, right?
I don't know. I feel like I've seen an equal amount of people saying this has ruined Tolkien's legacy, and an equal amount of people saying this is great. But also, a lot of people are saying that because there's black hobbits in it.
I was about to say, I have no knowledge of this whatsoever.
I have watched Rings of Power. Yeah. I think I have watched a couple of episodes, and this is going to sound strange, I guess, maybe because it was a very expensive TV show, one of the most expensive TV shows at the time.
So.
I
feel
like we keep hearing that. It's the most expensive. It looked so fucking cheap.
Yeah, dude.
Like, fantasy's
hard. So, you know, like the I think it's like, you know, hanging out of that PSA that Tom Cruise does every now and again to be like, hey, change your settings on your TV because of that weird like motion smoothing. It felt like it was that, and I was like, is my TV
weird
bad again? Like, has the settings gone off? I need to go back and make sure that the motion smoothing is off. Like, it was it felt like that. It felt that level of cheap.
The frame rate thing, you know how the Hobbit
that's right.
that was like filmed at like 60 frames a second. Yeah. But some people were like, "Ooh, this makes me feel no good."
Yeah.
Did they do the same thing in Rings of Power?
Maybe. I don't know.
I'm
maybe,
not sure. Yeah.
That'd be weird to do
check
that
the
for
tapes.
A TV series.
Have there been like?
But it was like with House of Dragon, like that again when that aired. I remember someone like posting a video of like an apartment complex, and you could see everyone watching it just because of the colors and everything going.
I remember that too.
And that's crazy to me because House of the Dragon, like I saw that one thing where it's like, look how popular House of the Dragon is, and then I have not seen
House of
anything.
So House of the Dragon was really like, again, season one, great. Season two, no.
Yeah.
And part of it is because, like, you know, I think even George R.R. Martin was like, well, you fucked it.
Yeah.
And there's some weird things that happen. Mm. And, like, understanding like, when you're adapting some things, of course, things will change. And, of course, like, whatever. But then there's this, like, one scene that's really, like, very, very, like, I guess, famous for, like, in the book it's based off, where it's, like, the murder of. Like Blood and Cheese, who were the assassins, the murder of like the
Blood and Cheese.
Yeah, Blood and Cheese grommet.
Blood and Cheese.
Blood and Cheese.
Ooh, I'm going for a Blood and Cheese.
God, now I'm going to forget all the names, so I apologize, because they're all like Rhaenyrus and Rhaenys.
Mm. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Sorry, I don't know the names of my head. Mm. But it's like, so Blood and Cheese, they go, they're meant to be there to assassinate one of the... it's like a son for a son. It's one of the whoever is
doesn't matter.
Well, doesn't matter.
Yeah,
they go in there in the book. It's like they go in there, and it's like the two kids are sleeping, and the mother is there as well. And they're like, okay, cool. Choose which one survives. And it's like, okay, and they choose that one, and so they kill that one in front of the other one. So it's like even more of a guilty type. Like, oh, this is a fucked decision, and that is a terrible thing because that kid is young enough to has memories, and so it knows that it was going to be holy shit. So then they cut one of those kids,
and so that's crazy.
It's like it's still like admits they still do child murder, so it's still quite horrible.
Yeah,
but it is like
it kind of removes it like a pretty important
element. Yeah, and it's sort of like oh well you've. you've removed that.
What?
And
I was just so scared.
Yeah.
But sorry. I think it was budget. I think it was, yeah. And oh, I think, and our okay. wonderful, the wonderful man Zaslav.
I imagined he'd have his grubby fingers in this. Yeah.
Kind of like, all right, cool. Let's, you know, cut the budget. And another thing as well, I think it was going, meant to be, say it was meant to be 10 episodes or whatever. Then they were like, yep, this is the plan, 10 episodes, sweet. This is going to be the season finale. Cool, 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 cool. And we've been cut to 8. Six.
Classic.
And so there was just some things where it like kind of ends on a bit of a wet fart of like, oh, okay, well,
and is
oh,
that
okay.
that's it? We're not getting another third season?
And we are getting a third season. Okay. And like the opening of like season 3 is meant, was kind
of. Oh, I thought House of the Dragon had like 4 seasons.
It's only got two currently. And the third is coming out. And like, yeah, it's, season 3 will open with what was, I think, intended to be.
Okay. So they're kind of already starting to.
But at the same time, George R.R. Martin was just like, yeah, fuck this shit. Yeah. Once again, you've ruined a thing I like made and create and like and love. Oh my God.
God, I hope he never finishes Winds of Winter.
Same, dude.
Dude, I think it's so funny seeing people. I think maybe it was the author Gretcha Falco Martin was tweeting about it, where she was like, it's so, he doesn't owe you that book.
Yeah.
He could decide, I'm never making that book. And that would be so fine. And so many people were angry with her.
Nah, I agree.
I think that's awesome, dude. He can, whatever. Good. He doesn't make that book. Yeah. Who cares?
It's exactly.
Not, he's you're not in charge of George R.R. Martin. Yeah. Plus he's like, what, 70 or something?
He's probably not getting that book.
Who cares?
Even if he hadn't, like, you know, if he wasn't older or like, you know, whatever, he's like, whatever. He doesn't owe you that.
Yeah,
he's
exactly.
like, hey, I wrote this series and I sort of took it to its like weirdly its natural conclusion because I can't finish this.
Yeah.
Because I've gotten myself with this like
I've tied myself in a million knots.
Yeah, yeah. It's the Mirian knot, I think, that people will often describe where it's like, what do I do with Daenerys?
Yes.
And so the people's like, you know, big whole like criticism of season 8 was that, Daenerys kind of goes a little bit crazier for no reason.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then just like sacks King's Landing and destroys everyone. But then if you look at like, you know, the novels and you're like,
that's kind of where it's set
up. If it does go that way, you can see how it happens because you can see that there's like the false dragon.
Bram the Broken. Bram the Broken. I've heard that with that. Yeah, people being like, if you look at through the books, it makes a lot more sense because there's more context.
Yeah,
and with Bran as well, like he's basically being possessed by the Three-Eyed Crow. And so there's this idea that maybe he was the one. And there was a interesting theories, and maybe it'll come true if he does end up writing, releasing, or maybe not. But it's like, oh yeah, he was the one that kind of was the reason why that the Mad King Jaehaerys went mad because he was going back in time and whispering in his ears, and that was the reason why all this kind of stuff happened. And like, interesting.
Have you heard the theory that George R.R. Martin doesn't write the books?
What is it? Someone else does it? Somebody ghost writes it?
It's me. I'm making up the rumor right now.
Who writes them instead?
Me.
Adam.
I've been writing them. Since.
Oh my God, dude! Well, people, you got to write that next one.
Dude.
I'm gonna let George's been pissing me off. I'm gonna let him stew in the wind for a little longer.
Stew in the wind. I want people to start emailing you all of the hate that goes towards George R. R. Martin going to you. Adam Carnevale, where is Winds of Winter?
It's just nice people are talking about
me. Yeah, dude. That's fair enough.
But like, there's like the whole, I think it's like young Griff, who was meant to be the actual, you know, the heir of the throne, is going to come in, and you know, he's going to then go in and take over King's Landing in a very, I guess, nicer way. And so then people are like, oh, we love this, you know, this Targaryen, hurrah. And then when Daenerys comes in with her, like, stuff, and she's like, well, that was meant to be mine. That was meant, you're a time to burn everything to the ground with dragons. Seeing how, like, the people rejoice that, like, you know, a Targaryen is on the throne, but it's not her. And you can kind of see maybe how that could be happening in the book or leading to.
Yeah.
But then it's just like, what if we didn't have that?
What if there was no setup and all of a sudden it went bananas?
Yeah, real silly.
Yeah.
And don't worry about, like, you know, the zombies from up north. That's actually the secondary problem.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
Terrible.
Every now and then I see that scene of on like YouTube or something like that. Someone will reference it. That scene of Tywin Lannister talking about the Lannister house while he's butchering a deer or something like that. Yeah. Every now and then I see that scene, and every single time I see it, I'm like, but the first four, maybe I can go back and I could just stop at season 4.
I know what you mean.
Oh, I know. It's so just like
those early seasons, those early dude. Seasons. They were fucking
such a good scene.
God, it's like the same thing with fucking Westworld. First season of Westworld was baller, dude.
Yeah.
Every subsequent season was ass.
Yeah.
But that last shot of season one where the man in black gets shot and he's got that light, like he gets shot and he's been shot and his reaction
is
he's smiling. Yeah, he's like ecstatic and he's really, really
happy.
Yeah. God, that
it's
rules.
Cool how people just fuck up their TV show real bad. I think that's awesome, dude. The funniest thing about like speaking of Westworld and Game of Thrones is in, I think, the third season of Westworld or the second season of Westworld, where they had, what's their name? Dingus and Wise?
D&D.
They had those guys in Westworld with one of the dragons from Game of Thrones talking about how they're going to sell the dragon for parts. And, like, clearly, because it came out around the same time as the finale for Game of Thrones, and clearly they had imagined that it would come across like a kind of fun, quirky wink-wink.
Yeah.
But it's like, it makes them seem like such pieces of shit where they've fucked up the ending of Game of Thrones and then they're like, anyway, what the fuck are we going to do next? I only care about money. It's so funny to me.
What's that? That Star Wars that we were going to do? Oh, it's we can't do. You've
what
taken
that,
away from
that
us.
TV show we're going to do where what if the Confederacy had won?
Oof.
I wish they had done that. That would have been awesome. It was based off a book, I think.
Yeah. Well, I think they went on and did the Three Body Problem on Netflix.
Yeah.
A book that I'm like, whoa.
Yeah, I got that book. I keep being like, I have it. I should read it, but I know you
made
hate
me
it.
So mad. It's like, you know, when someone describes a video game that's never played a video game in their life.
Yeah.
One of those.
What?
Like when they're describing a new video game, or they're describing like someone's experience of video game. I mean, weirdly, you got this more in the 90s when someone go in the computer and they're talking about how a computer work and they go into a video game or whatever and they describe the video game and you're like, you've never played a video game in your fucking life. And that's what this book felt like.
That's...
Anyway,
I know that's
enjoy.
Well, I will read it at some point, I'm sure.
And look, okay, so get on some Three Bodies fucking issues at the end of the
line. Everyone stand back. Joel's on his
He's on a tear. He's on a tear.
Anyway, so what's happening in the Three Bodies problems? Like, all these prominent scientists, they figure out something's happening. They figure out, like, whatever. Everything that they knew about the world was wrong.
Yeah.
Everything that they figured out was like, oh, this thing. And it's like fundamentally, it's wrong. And so they decide to kill themselves.
Yeah, okay.
And so that's what's happening. Yeah. These people, they're just killing themselves. And it's just like, this kind of goes also against the scientific theory of like the scientific inquiry of like, hang on, wow, something that I thought was true is not true. So I need to figure out why. And it's not that.
They're
like, no.
What if I killed myself instead?
Kill myself instead. And also, well, maybe they're also seeing numbers. Anyway, it's...
Yeah, it didn't do it for you. And like, I've heard, because it's a translation, that it's got some issues there too.
Oh, yeah.
Plus, the last sci-fi book I read was so good that I'm scared to go to another sci-fi book. And
I should watch it, actually, partly because of like the whole like real life crime that happened.
Oh yeah,
where someone, I think it involves poison.
A
disgruntled worker poisoned like the CEO of whoever was in charge of getting this. It's a lot going on. A lot going on.
Well, with Elder Scrolls TV show,
yes.
So I think that thinking of Elder Scrolls as purely fantasy is a mistake.
Yep.
Because I think the interesting thing about the Elder Scrolls as a franchise and as a setting is that it's extremely fucking weird. And to remove that weirdness...
That is not where I thought that was going.
Where did you think it was going?
Well, I thought there's that classic line of like fantasy and sci-fi have the same thing where it's actually never about the fantasy or the sci-fi. It's about a greater question. All fantasy and all sci-fi is not about magic or it's not about the technology. It's about like are we learning about ourselves?
Yeah.
Like Black Mirror, basically.
What if my grandma is my computer?
Sci-fi and all fantasy are basically answering or asking and then trying to answer some greater question about the human condition.
Yeah.
And sci-fi tends to ask questions about our future and what our place is in future. Mm-hmm. And fantasy tends to ask questions about human emotion.
I've never really heard of that.
I thought there was like a...
I've heard the concept of like sci-fi being like, well, what, you know, it's speculative. What's the future going to look like?
Yeah.
But I've never heard the idea of fantasy being inherently tied to human emotion. Well,
I feel like often sci-fi is actually just fantasy that's been sort of like dressed up in a certain way.
Yeah.
Like say, for example, like Star Wars.
Yeah.
Like, oh, it's like a bit of a sci-fi thing. But no, it's mostly really fantasy.
Well, I think that's the
fantasy
concept of... not this, because this is not quite right, but like hard sci-fi and soft sci-fi.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think that there are some things that is fantasy with the sci-fi setting, which was so fucking, that was everywhere in the 70s. It would be like, Kongor, the spaceman, has crashed his spaceship onto an alien planet, and all of a sudden, it's a fantasy.
But yeah, it's like,
that's my jam.
That's so funny because, it is so not my jam.
I love it so
like,
much. That's so
you were like, well, finally, they're doing like John Carter on Mars. Yes. Yeah. No, what? Not getting a sequel.
John Carter on Mars is such a weird fucking movie. I think my favorite sci-fi book is a book called Echo Praxis. And that is hard sci-fi.
Yeah.
You enjoy your
little numbers.
Yeah, yeah, I will, dude. I will. But anyway, but that's what I like about The Elder Scrolls, is I don't think The Elder Scrolls is...
Yeah.
I think it's closer to sci-fi in some aspects, at least.
That's kind of what I was about to say. Fantasy, where I was like, I think it's kind of like the reverse of your Star Wars, where... Everything, because again, I'm not as into the Elder Scrolls as you guys are.
Yeah.
And like, I think I played Skyrim, that's about it. Mm. But like, you know, learning a bit more about it, it's very much like, oh, this is kind of more towards sci-fi
it's
wrapped up in that
fantasy
and setting.
It's weird, dude.
Yeah.
You get crazy shit like, is it called Nim? Mm. Where the dwarves zero-summed themselves out of reality by figuring out they're in a video game. No, Chim? Chim. It's called Chim.
Ah.
And that's discovering effectively that you are in a video game and you either... explode or like merge with the digital consciousness. Like, I don't know, man. Elder Scrolls has got a lot of weird shit like that, but I think most of it is because of, and I forget the guy's name, but he's one of either the developers or the writers, and he went away and did a bunch of acid or something, and then he was like, here's the lore. And like, he wrote like a coda to the Elder Scrolls series, which involves shit like a sentient...
Michael Kirkbride?
Yes, Michael Kirkbride. It involves like shit like...
Being the guy on the computer?
Yeah.
That's kind of fun,
It's good that you see why Dushan does it.
I get it, I get
it.
Yeah. But yeah, he wrote like a short story that's like... multiple short stories, but one which is about an elf robot on the moon.
Yes.
Like, it just gets crazy. But I like that aspect of the Elder Scrolls.
I think you and I are about to pitch very different Elder Scrolls shows.
I think that shit's cool. Obviously I wouldn't have that in the forefront because I think Elder Scrolls needs to feel like a fantasy.
Oh, yeah, you need
it's
that
just
buy-in.
That the secret of Elder Scrolls is that it's sort of not... But honestly, that's the kind of the same shit that happens in Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Where Game of Thrones is pitched to you as a fantasy, and 99% of the time it is a fantasy. It's just that the other 1% is full-on cosmic horror. So that's... But without that cosmic horror, nothing makes it stand out. So, like, I think if I was going to make an Elder Scrolls TV show, I would do the same thing. Mm. I would have... It's basic fantasy, but... Somewhere along the way, you're like, oh, yeah, the stars, they're not stars. They're holes into space-time whatever.
Yeah, they're going down like a dwarven, like, you know, ruins, and they're building like that little construct or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
And so suddenly you're like, you know, all these like weird texts coming into play.
You're like, oh, the dwarves, they have dwarven technology and harmonics, but actually the harmonics is figuring out effectively how to say computer code out loud
to reprogram
the world.
There's a book series, I forget. Oh, I guess this isn't exactly what you're saying, but something about what you just said triggered this memory. This fantasy book series I used to read where magic was like, there's like a literal essence inside you, and I'm not talking about like ki or something.
Yeah.
Like there is a blue goo that is in every person.
Yep. Yeah.
And using magic is manipulating that blue goo.
That rocks. I
love
that. And
so you can like make it come out of your mouth and it manipulates and it does stuff for you. And you can make it do, you can make other people's blue goo do stuff. But then randomly, halfway through, I want to say like the fourth book I'm reading, randomly one of the characters using their blue goo tears open a portal through space and time.
Yeah.
And they describe this terrible mechanical beast falling out. And it's other than this blue goo magic, it is essentially like a generic fantasy setting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they fight this mechanical beast for a minute and then, you know, destroy it. And they're like, there's something written on it. And one of the characters reads out, "Land Cruiser." And then,
that's awesome.
Then they're like, what was this strange world that we tore a hole into? What a moment that was.
That's I like fought a car somehow.
Yeah.
That makes me think of, there's a fantasy series I learned about that I was like, oh, that might be an interesting read, where it's like a three or four books, and it actually is. Mm. It's not just like a fantasy with sci-fi elements. It is a sci-fi. It's in a way, weirdly, the reverse of your favorite kind of fantasy book.
Yeah.
So it starts as a classic fantasy where it's like a farm boy finds out he has like special powers and he's got to go meet a fucking wizard or some bullshit and he's got to meet the wizard in this tower. I think that's a big part of it. And that the first book's all about getting to this tower and exploring this tower. And then in the second book, they're like, the tower is a rocket ship.
Fuck,
and it's like, this
yes.
is a, it's been a sci-fi the whole time.
Yeah.
That shit's cool, dude. That shit rocks.
What was I going to say? Oh, just to return to the topic at hand.
Yes.
So I'm also cool for like because I think you were describing your one is like a Game of Thrones-esque sort of like intrigue with that 1%.
Yeah. Because you can't immediately dump on people like every memory in in Tamriel is contained within the water or whatever.
Ew.
You can't be doing that to people.
I'm thinking a great setting would be the secession crisis that happens after Oblivion.
Yes, yeah.
So
true.
End, Joel, for your benefit, at the end of Elder Scrolls 4 Oblivion, the rightful emperor. So the emperor of Tamriel is a blood lineage thing, and that is because you need someone with this specific blood.
Jackson might
be able to explain this better, but the emperor needs to be a very specific bloodline, otherwise some very specific bad things happen.
Mm-hmm.
And in Oblivion, the last person of that bloodline is killed, dies, saving Tamriel.
Okay.
And after that...
doing so, I guess, has doomed.
Yeah. And, well, yeah, has prevented one apocalypse only to cause another one. And I think that's cool.
Yeah, I agree.
I think, essentially, Game of Thrones, a bit of Game of Thrones, because there's that, causes the secession crisis where there's no rightful heir and everyone's like, well, who's emperor?
Yeah.
So there's an apocalypse that everyone knows is coming now that the emperor's dead.
So kind of leading up to the Oblivion crisis.
Well, no. After the Oblivion crisis.
So the emperor
dies to stop the Oblivion crisis. Oblivion is like hell and it's coming into the real world.
Yeah.
So the emperor dies to stop that. But because there's no longer an emperor, it just means that this other apocalypse now is on a timer and is going to happen.
Okay. So, and then people know like the reason.
People know that.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Because I'll be like, oh, it'd be interesting if like people didn't know that. Only a select few knew that, where it's just like, oh, why is this, you know, this bloodline is like the emperor or whatever. It's like, oh, yeah, they just gotta be. But like, you know, that's been lost to time of why they need to.
Yeah.
Well, I think this is maybe a little bit Game of Thrones now that I think about
it
with the premonitions, the dragon dreams that the Targaryens keep having and why everyone is just like, ah, and that causes the rift in House of the Dragon.
I don't know. I like split storylines, but I want three distinct storylines and never shall they meet.
Yeah, okay.
I reckon the Blades being like, the Blades were the bodyguards of the Emperor.
Mm-hmm.
The Blades being like, surely, if we go far back enough, we can find somebody
who still has the
child.
Blood. Yeah.
We can find someone with this blood.
Mm-hmm. Someone. Anyone could be the Emperor right now.
In the Imperial City, at the core of the Empire, a secession crisis where people are stabbing each other in the back, trying to be the last emperor before the world falls apart. And then some third one, I think that I like the idea of something like far away from everything
else.
Well,
I think you could do some kind of thing where you're like, you've got instability in, what the fuck is the country or the province that the Oblivion games take place in?
I think, what is it? Tamriel. No,
Tamriel's the area known as the universe. Noon's the realm.
What is the, without going into, I guess, too much detail, because I think Adam was avoiding it maybe for a reason, because it was causing him great pain.
Yeah.
What is the apocalypse that, because his bloodline isn't...
Well, I don't really remember.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm not sure what he...
The emperor is stopping something. Cyrodiil.
Okay. So maybe, because Cyrodiil is also the main empire province. Mm. You could have like something happening in Blackmarsh or elsewhere.
Yeah, that's what I was kind of thinking.
Oh, we're planning an attack or something on. Because that's a funny thing about like the Elder Scrolls is you have all the beast races and shit where shit gets weird, where it's like the Argonians, which are like lizard people, but they exist because they are lizards that eat the sap of a particular tree and then become men.
And they are all one entity?
Yeah, they're all one.
A hive mind?
Well, they're actually effectively mind controlled by the Hist trees.
Yeah.
The Hist trees possibly being, the Hist trees possibly being
like history
smaller,
or...
maybe smaller versions. I might be getting this wrong. Smaller versions of the reality bracing towers which exist across the continent of Tamriel.
And one is in each game. Or
yeah, one is in each game and is destroyed in each game.
Hey.
Or maybe not is destroyed, but many are. White Gold Tower is destroyed in one of the games.
In Oblivion.
In Oblivion.
Could you then, to get what you want in that 1% cosmic horror, could each of these storylines then incorporate one cosmic horror in?
Oh, yeah, or one bit of like weird sort of.
I think if you're pitching this as a TV series, you do need these three stories to interconnect.
Mm. And
I'm sorry, dude. But like you will need some like level of intersection at some point.
Three seasons, each one is a different story.
All right. Okay.
Can we do that?
Anthology style. I think that's cool.
Doing The Wire. All right.
It's Elder Scrolls The Wire, dude. Well, because there's so much cool
the only anthology series that has ever existed. The Wire.
Oh well so The Wire is each season is very different.
Yeah, but they are pretty connected.
They are connected and they're still like actors that go throughout the whole series. So they're like, you see first about the cops, and you get the thing from the unions, and then you get the newspaper and the politicians and blah blah blah. So it's not an anthology series at all.
No.
I kind of see. But and I was like, there's a lot of crossover, but I don't disagree. I think it kind of is an anthology series
in your mind for the Elder Scrolls anthology series.
Yeah.
Do you imagine that they are telling the one narrative? So each season is a completely
as like for some reason the producer we are fighting Adam. you are fighting tooth and nail to get some funding.
Sometimes I just fight.
Effectively pitching like a Fargo style TV show.
Yeah, yeah,
which I think is fine. They exist.
They do.
Fargo exists.
Yeah,
Fargo exists. Of course.
I am not the Coen Brothers.
Yeah, hard to, like often because there's big gaps between seasons, and then also hard for to get up and running.
Yeah.
I believe you'll, if you check down the bottom, folks, I believe you'll find today's episode is called Your Ideal, not the one that could get made.
That's, you know what? Fair enough.
You're right. You were
suck
right.
Suck an
Adam.
Egg.
I'm getting that egg and I am sucking that egg
down,
off.
Dude.
No, you're sucking it
down. I think I like an anthology because there are so many weird corners of not only just like geographically, but like timeline wise.
Okay. Could you do in further anthology something? Do you guys ever watch any of the Love, Death, Robots?
Yes,
no,
I was thinking this. Yes.
Yeah, they're great. And like some of them are swings and misses, but most of them are pretty damn good. So you could do something like that, set in the eldest girls.
I was also thinking this.
Yeah.
I don't hate that idea as well. I like something compels me about, because there's different regions to the map. Something compels me about not maybe necessarily each season, but each episode. If you were doing like something really high budget and, you know, to make this cost effective or whatever, to sell it to the producer, if you... I forgot.
Oh, no. Adam Forgetti.
You were going to sell it to the producer,
though.
I forgot.
Yeah.
Did someone else go?
Okay. Because I think you could also do a kind of like a, I don't know why this is the reference I'm pulling, but like a Journey to the West style thing where you have a collection. This is very fantasy, but you have a collection of characters from one province that need to make their way to the other province across Tamriel.
Your Del Toro quest.
Your Del Toro quest style, which is far more generic, but like, I don't know, maybe there's something. Because something I also like about the Elder Scrolls series of games is that they start out with a pretty basic premise, but then when you get into what's actually happening, it's weird. Like, for example, in Skyrim, they go, hey, you're just lucky enough to be the Dragonborn. And you need to stop this apocalypse. But then if you look into it, you go, you actually are a god. You're just like a sliver of a god. Oh. And the apocalypse you're stopping, you actually aren't meant to be stopping. You're doing bad by... Oh. When you win in Skyrim, you're actually fucking things up.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Because it's meant to... It's a renewal cycle.
Yeah,
it's meant to die and be reborn.
Exactly. So, you're effectively fucking up the ecosystem.
Could you do something?
Like in Dark Souls.
Like in Dark Souls, exactly, dude. Don't light that fire.
Okay.
Or do, so, I forget.
It's okay. So running off, I guess, Adam's idea of like, you know, a bunch of different stories that, and never they shall meet. And you start off with the, after the Oblivion, the crisis, and then it's down to the crisis of succession.
Yeah.
The succession crisis.
Yeah, yeah. Succession crisis.
So then, I mean, tomato, tomato, who freaking cares? Yeah.
So what, is this possible? I do not know the lore.
Yeah.
So, we start off, of course, you know, maybe
you get if you check the comments, I'm sure you'll find I don't either.
Fair. So we start off with like, you know, the intro of the TV series is like, you know, maybe a shorthand of what like, you know, the Emperor did.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been like, yep, they sacrificed themselves, but you know, unbeknownst or, you know, unfortunately, they've just kicked the can down the road.
Yeah.
And this other thing is, have we found out what that other crisis is?
Or I
have
think we found it might out just be the same thing that caused the Oblivion crisis. So there's a god or an evil entity. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they're a god called Dagon.
Okay.
Mehrunes Dagon?
Yeah, Or are they two different guys? Mm. No, Mehrunes Dagon. No. Mehrunes
right. Dagon.
Mehrunes Dagon.
Who
all
wants
right.
to tear open Oblivion yep. gates into the material realm and kind of like, you know, mess shit up.
Yeah. Yep.
And he is stopped by the Emperor's bloodline. But now that the Emperor's bloodline is gone, he gets stopped in Oblivion. But it's just a matter of time before he builds up power to come back. And when he comes back, I believe you need to have the Emperor's blood to stop him.
Uh-huh.
And because there is no more Emperor's bloodline.
Oh, no.
The next time he comes back, that's going to be
no him. One's going to stop him. All right. So I guess, do we know why it's the Emperor's blood so important? Was there some ritual prior to this?
I think it's a classic. He's a sliver of a god.
He's a fucking, he mantled. Yeah. He did a fucking mantling, dude.
Of course, he did a
mantling.
He mantled the godhead,
He mantled the godhead, of course.
Yes, silly. Dude.
He became a god.
Or so his bloodline.
The first guy did, and then every like subsequent, like.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
I think in every. Is this correct?
Sliver of gods.
In every... Oh, no, wait. No, it can't be correct. Never mind.
Okay, cool.
Ignore me.
Okay, done.
No worries, bro.
All right, so I'm just trying to work with what I know and what you've given me here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So again, it's a... okay. So that happens, like, you know, he's kicked the can down the road, and the reason why that, you know, either through, like, the exposition, kind of like the Lord of the Rings, like, very first, like, opening where you got that narrative of the person talking about, like, hey, this is what happened, and, you know, they, you know, to combat this, you know, he became a sliver of a god, or he mantled the
brother,
god
do you want to hear this? This is from the Elder Scrolls Wiki for mantling. This is awesome. This is like Wikipedia level shit. Mantling is the process whereby an individual can achieve apotheosis. It is frequently considered one of the six walking ways, the fourth, and is sometimes called the steps of the dead.
Okay. So, all right, with that in mind, all right, so now, okay, I'm just going to
ask about the moon race. No,
I'm
that
not.
Happened.
Yeah, I'm not dude. Going to.
The champion of Cyrodiil, actually, that you play as, he does mantle.
Oh, so I am right. Is
so you're
every
using
character...
it as a verb.
Yeah, because you mantle a godhead, dude. Well, he mantles Jigalig. And Sheogora. He mantles Jigalig, dude.
He mantles Jigalag. Yeah. I'm there.
He mantles Jigalag.
You don't
Jigalag,
have to tell me
dude.
Twice.
He mantles Jigalag. In Oblivion, in Morrowind, I don't know if you're a god, but
I was about to say, in Morrowind, you're the Nerevar or something.
Oh, the Neverine.
You're a god in Morrowind as well. You're like a reborn god in Morrowind.
Okay, so way till we can kind of like how's this for an idea or concept? So we have the narrative of like, hey. You know, the bloodline is very important because he mantled Jigalag or he mantled the god, whatever the hell. Or it's like, you know, the bloodline is important. And the reason why is, you know, they became a sliver of a god, whatever. And so then, and now it's the mad rush to try and find, like, you know, to either find the last bloodline, you know, to find that bloodline, or I'm guessing it's a process, or to mantle a god, right? So, like, to stop. Am I correct in saying to stop this apocalypse, you either need to find the Emperor's blood or you have to find, or you have to do a new thing and become a bit of a god to stop the apocalypse. And then you can follow the potentials of like, oh, these are the potential bastards that, you know, have this bloodline. And then you have over here something like, oh, and this person, they're going to try and mantle Jigalag.
You don't want to mantle Jigalag, dude.
Oh, yeah. Well,
he's the god of order and chaos.
Well, of course you don't want that. You want
shivering isles and shit, dude.
You want to mantle Different god of kind.
You probably want a mantle.
You do a good gulp noise.
Yeah, you do. You want a mantle. What the fuck's his name, dude?
Yep. I want to mantle that guy.
I don't hate that. I think that's all right. Yeah, so then, all right, maybe we can recreate this. Mm. I like the idea maybe, of a couple scene.
Akatosh, dude.
Of course. But it's got not, a mantle but, Akatosh, but, no, but of
oh,
course.
Can I? Oh, yeah. I'm excited for this part. But not Akatosh. You want his other side. Yeah, Akatosh is two, yeah. There's two.
I know.
There's actually...
Of course. Adam. You see, Adam.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
You could not
Every
be
culture
wrong.
Has an Akatosh. They're just under different names.
Of course.
But they are all separate gods. But they're all Akatosh.
Well, that's... As a Catholic, so Jackson, that part makes the most sense.
So it's like, you know, what's your sun god called? Oh, our sun god is this now. Oh, cool. Well, it's probably the same
Pretty
sun
much,
god.
Yeah.
But also, it's not, though.
Yeah.
It's
they are the same sun god.
And no.
But they are different sun gods.
And this is complicated because Hammerfell has their own gods, which are the same gods, but are different gods. But the Hammerfell guys, they came for the
Hammerfell's a country.
Yeah, Hammerfell's a province. The Red Guards, who are the people from Hammerfell, they came from the last world to this world on a boat and brought their gods. But their gods are different gods, but they're the same gods.
Okay. Yep. All right.
I kind of love this. Actually.
That's why I like the Elder Scrolls, because it's freaky, dude.
Yeah.
So with that in mind,
there are two locations, physical locations you can go to in the world of Elder Scrolls that are the past and and future. They are the past.
So
Amora is one.
So with that in mind, as a TV show, you could start off it again.
Are you pitching season one or every season?
I'm pitching just season one, right?
Okay, yeah.
And like where it goes, because it does depend on like, A, if you get picked up for a season two. And like, you know, people like reaction to it and if they like this and that kind of stuff. So you start off with the whole like, okay, yep, it's the crisis section. What's going to happen? And so then you have like one faction maybe in that wherever the castle is, like the town. One faction being like, well, we have to find... you know, the rightful heir. We have to find someone who will, like, maybe not Mr. Rightful Heir, Mr. Right Now Heir. Like, we need to find them, like, quickly, right?
Is that you pitching a line for this season?
Damn right.
He's pitching dialogue.
Exactly.
It's dialogue, baby.
You got to be a bit quick, you know, we got to be a bit quippy, maybe.
He's pitching dialogue.
Yeah. He's pitching dialogue.
You then have another faction, which is like, okay, cool. You guys go off and maybe you can have them at butting heads, or maybe they can be like, we don't care that you're doing that. That's great. If you're doing that, we're over here. We need to mantle Akatosh, a certain type of Akatosh. We've got to mantle a god.
It
doesn't matter. Maybe this week get some freaky
shit,
right?
So the blood thing, they need to have the blood of the dragonborn.
Okay.
They also need to... This is just another thing. I don't know if this is relevant. We don't have to include this. The Fallout TV show, I know they've said it's canon.
Yeah.
Clearly they've changed something. So we can change some stuff too.
Yeah.
So the Emperor wears...
I hate it. They're messing with my canon. I hate it.
Amulet of Kings, which is made of a hardened drop of the blood of Lorcan, who was a god the dwarfs made, I think.
Yes.
Okay. Also a thing in the real world, I think. Okay. Lorcan is a real thing.
Okay.
Or like a real, some sort of, there's some...
Okay, isn't there like a D&D thing? Anyway, go on.
Only... That's why I'm saying that, because I've heard that in a bunch of different places. The fucking Halo canon references Lorcan.
Oh, wow. Jackson's learned something.
It's just so funny to go to Lorcan on the Tamriel Wikipedia.
Uh-huh.
And the first thing I see is the moon. And then under the moon it says, Massa, one of the moons, and presumed to be part of Lorcan's body.
Okay, so you know how we're in a constant state of chaos and fighting for our lives every single day on this godforsaken earth? Between work and everything else falling apart around me, I have not had it together enough to meal prep or plan dinner, or honestly, function like a normal human being most weeknights. Cooking something good is hard, and I deserve a modicum of joy every now and again. That's why I've turned to Omaha Steaks. My freezer is full. That's sorted. It is genuinely the one part of my life running smoothly. Real steaks, burgers, seafood, chicken, sides, all shipped to my door. So even on the nights where everything else is on fire, dinner isn't one more thing to stress about. I made the burgers the other night, didn't even have the energy to think, just pulled them out, threw them on the grill, and they tasted like something from an actual steakhouse. Somehow, the one corner of my life that's together is the one I didn't even have to think about. If you've never tried them, the Burger Perfection Flight is the easiest way in.
20 premium steak burgers across 5 cuts. So try the Burger Perfection Flight at omahasteaks.com today. That's 20 premium steak burgers for just $79.99. Plus, get $35 off with promo code BEEF. That's right, BEEF. B-E-E-F. omahasteaks.com, promo code BEEF for $35 off at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details.
Secunda, the other moon, is also part of his body.
Lacor, what parts? What parts? What parts?
Say, doesn't
what
parts? Say. Lorcan, also
two
known
moons
as
nestled closely together. What okay. part of his body? What part of his body?
Probably both nuts. Lorcan, also known as Doomdrum,
is twins.
The elven name yep. for the missing god, the deity most directly associated with the existence of Mundus, and is the god of all mortals.
Mundus
are, being no, the material. No,
no. Did you already say?
No, I've.
Do you know what Mundus is?
Yeah.
Okay. Guess what Mundus is.
So it's not a god. What was the sentence again? Because I just heard Mundus and I thought
I'll read
that
it out to you.
I'm excited.
I wasn't.
I'm so excited.
100%.
Lorcan, yep. also known as Doomdrum, is yeah. the elven name for the wow. missing god, the deity most directly associated with the existence of Mundus and is the god of all mortals.
All right, the existence so of Mundus. Doomdrum, otherwise known as Doomdrum,
yep.
that is not helpful.
No. But like the existence of Mundus was helpful in that sentence. Mm-hmm. So,
but what is Mundus? Yeah.
So the existence of Mundus either needs to be some sort of essence, or it needs to be some sort of like a people, mm-hmm. or maybe a tree.
No, it's effectively the material plane.
Oh,
so Mundus, everything happens on Mundus, because the Elder Scrolls origin story is
nothing
that
everything happens on Mundus.
There was
happy Mundus.
There was nothing, but and then nothing there was but Mundus. Nothing was a guy. And nothing, which I'm pretty sure becomes the Night Mother, as in the god that the...
I got confused. Sorry. I was very excited because I thought I knew what Mundus is.
What did you think you Mundus
Mondas. Was? Mondas.
What's Mondas?
Monday.
That's so funny, dude.
I thought he was the god responsible for Monday.
Oh, no. Garfield hates him.
He does.
Okay. Well, with that in mind,
mm-hmm.
so why don't we get the idea would be the show is pitching like the premise of this is where it all kicks off. It's kind of like, so you have, there is the apocalypse coming, and maybe we know kind of a bit more about what that is. It's going to be like really bad, and maybe it's bubbling up. So it's like the guy didn't kick the can down that far, to be honest. He thought he did, but really he didn't. We've got maybe. You can pick a number because I know there's elves and shit in this, and they maybe have like different. Like,
I don't
like,
know if elves do live longer.
Whatever they're like, the basically
sure
we give this a time frame,
yeah.
so that it's like you know, yeah, we need to sort this out within a generation.
Mm.
If you really wanted to span this with two generations, because then we could fuck around with time a little bit, like maybe Westworld, if we wanted to.
Yeah, sure.
Because then it's like cool. There was two factions, or from this, there was two factions, and they weren't at war initially, maybe, where it's like some factions went and tried to find the heir to the throne, and another faction was like, no, we have to then find this god, or we have to like mantle the god.
Yeah, yeah.
And then like that was the premise, and then maybe we have like, you know, following a few different people, a few different time periods. Maybe we don't know that it's the different time periods because we, you know, unbeknownst to us, we revealed later on, these two factions started splintering.
Yeah.
And so it's like, well, you know, we have to find the rightful heir, but he has to be like, you know, a red god.
Yeah, sure.
Was that one of the guys?
That's one of the guys.
Six. But there has to be a red god heir.
Yeah.
Oh, like, oh, no, he needs to be an Argonian. Oh, no, it needs to be
a Khajiit
or whatever, right? And so there was like, oh, there was some splintering over there. There's some like factions that have, you know, that are now at odds. And then over here, same thing. Well, we got a mantle jiggle leg, and like, no, we got to do Akatosh. Well, which version?
Which Akatosh are you doing, brother?
And then that splinters out. Right? And then you started creating some like conflict of like who's doing what. Maybe they find, oh, this is the rightful heir, but it's not the Red Guard. It's someone else. And then there's like, well, we can't have that.
We can't
have that. Maybe we need to make them bang a Red Guard, and then that will be the and then we start doing some sort of like eugenics going on.
I think there is like a bit of that in Tamriel.
Then they start like, you know, well, like the Bene Gesserit, which is like, we're marrying these two great houses because we want us on the throne, so we got to do that. Let's just, everyone, we didn't find him, shut up.
Yeah,
he does, shush, we got to have an offspring that we want. And then, like, maybe they try, maybe they're assassinated, maybe this, and again, you have those political machinations happening over there. And then the same thing over here, then you have your more god shit happening. Yeah. Where you're like, oh, interesting. And then you could kind of interweave and
mix them,
match them wherever you want. Like, maybe, like, someone's going, oh, I got to mantle this god. And they're like, but you're already a part of the, but you are one of the heirs.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
But what?
It is interesting, like, thinking about the Fallout TV show. And I think that's just, it's interesting to adapt these kinds of games where it's like a role-playing game. So they say, who do you want to be? You got a million different choices or whatever, a million different stories you could tell.
Mm-hmm.
And then for a TV show, you kind of have to pick one.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You have to go.
You have to pick for like a show, not a show, for a game like Oblivion or Elder Scrolls, you have to pick a canonical ending.
Yeah.
I mean, with Oblivion, I think there's really only the one ending, but with.
Well, with the end of, I think, Elder Scrolls 2, they have the what do they call it? The warp in the West.
Oh.
Where all endings are correct.
Don't
there are like
him
four
like that.
Different endings to that game, and all of them are true.
There are five different endings because one of them is the apocalypse happens, and that is somehow also canonical.
True. Yeah,
because
in the warp in the West.
Hey, great to hear. That's good stuff.
So the apocalypse has happened already.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, so
well, it's an interesting thing with fantasy as well, because like what we're pitching currently is like a very Game of Thrones. Like it's a very like, here is the broad, expansive, multiple different factions coming together. And that is one way of doing it. But I think that that's not the only way of doing it as well. I think you can also go way smaller and tell a much more kind of grounded story. Like, you could honestly pick any one of Skyrim's, like, main sort of faction quests and just turn that into a TV show.
Would you do, so there are some tropes
that
come along with Elder Scrolls. So, for example, the first trope, you might not know this, Joel.
Mm-hmm.
In every game, I think there's one exception, but in every game with one exception, you start out as a prisoner.
Of course.
Mm.
The main character, the character you play is a prisoner.
Oh, yeah. You're in that horse and cart.
Yeah.
Would you do a similar thing?
I think so. I think that's fun. I think it's also just
you have to, right?
Yeah.
That little trope. And like because Skyrim and there's been so many versions of it, everyone's like, and once again, I'm back in this cart.
Yeah, good, exactly.
Yeah, I think I agree. I think there's like a question of why would you adapt something if you're not doing those tropes?
Well, yeah, for sure. Absolutely. And I think it's an interesting, I guess, because there's just so much. Like Fallout, I kind of, in a weird way, get why they went for Fallout first.
Yeah. Well,
because there's not tropes that you, like, obviously there's like the Elder Scrolls tropes. This is just fantasy tropes, you know what I mean?
Mm.
There are more fantasy TV shows than there are atom punk post-apocalyptic TV. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so you kind of have
more.
Do you think those are the categories, or do you think it is more basic like fantasy sci-fi and in a marketing sense, the average, you know, Joe Plumber consumer or whatever is seeing anything that has anything like with lasers and being like, no matter what else, they're like, that's sci-fi.
Yeah.
And seeing anything with a dragon, and no matter what else, being
maybe,
like, that's fantasy.
Well, I don't know. Like, I think people have seen more elves than ghouls in their lives, I guess is how I feel about it.
Well, I would say with Fallout, it's very much like, oh, it's the wasteland. It's a post-apocalyptic world. And it's like, okay, Mad Max and any other sort of like, you know, post-apocalyptic world.
People come
like, okay, I'm there.
But I would say that's still a rarer genre to see turned into a TV show than fantasy. I reckon. Like, I can bring to mind like 10 fantasy TV shows.
Oh, I'm not disagreeing with you on this nuance.
Mm.
I'm saying that, I guess what I'm thinking is, I've turned into the producer. I guess what I'm thinking is, does Joe Q Public know that?
Oh, I mean, maybe not. I'm just thinking, like, if they came to me and they said,
to see yourself become the villain.
Yeah, dude. If they came to me and they were like, Jackson, Bethesda wants you to, you know, turn one of their IPs into a TV show, I would go Fallout.
Yeah.
You know, like, I can see why that happened first.
I would also choose Fallout as well because I'm like, well, I don't have to, you know, think about, like, how would I put a fantasy setting in you know, filming all that doing all the, like, you know, the CGI.
Well, and also I think
what's that time loop game they made?
Oh,
that'd make a good show, I reckon.
Fuck, what was that called? Damn.
The one where you're hunting.
Yeah. Starfield is so... It's so funny that that's their third IP. The most...
Deathloop.
Deathloop. I reckon the most generic sci-fi shit.
Imagine Deathloop as every episode is another loop.
That'd be great, dude. Yeah, Time Loop TV is fucking rock, dude.
Yeah, man.
Russian Doll?
Yeah, dude.
Hell yeah, brother. Yeah.
Oh, am I just copying Russian Doll?
No, I'm just saying Russian Doll's a time loop TV show.
Well, again, I love a time loop, any movie TV show. You're like, hell yeah, put me in, coach.
It's a good genre. But I think it's also funny, you don't have to, if you're doing a fantasy, like say you're like, all right, I got to make the Elder Scrolls fantasy TV show. You go, how do I make it stand out?
Okay.
But if you're making a Fallout TV show, you're like,
it just stands
it's
out.
There, dude. It's everything that I need to make it stand out as an apocalypse story is in the thing already.
Because there is this, like, you know, potential problem of adapting, say, the any of the Elder Scrolls, like whatever, and you're like, oh, this is basically just your Game of Thrones. This is basically
Lord of the Rings.
Like, it's kind of like,
if I didn't know about the Elder Scrolls and I saw there was an Elder Scrolls TV show, I would be like, I don't care. As a guy who doesn't love fantasy, really, I would be like, what? I'm not going to watch this because you can't. It's, or unless, I mean, you know, you got to figure out a way to do it to be like, no, stuff going on under the hood. Don't worry about it. It's freaky and weird, but it just doesn't present like that straight away.
There's always going to be like people dressed up in armor. Yeah, there's going to be swords. Absolutely. There's going to be magic. There's going to be like, you know, castles.
The only thing you have is maybe the Khajiit and Argonians as your like selling point.
Okay, main character, Khajiit.
Maybe, okay, we want to get as freaky as possible. Main character, Khajiit, but the kind of Khajiit that's a lion.
Okay.
No, a house cat.
Okay, the kind of Khajiit that's just a house
cat. Okay, are they an actual house cat? Yes. Or they look like...
They
look identical to a house cat, but it is a person who talks.
But okay, to get even freakier, they are a house cat, and it's two brothers. One is a house cat, and one is just a man, but they are both Khajiit.
And
they were born under different moons, Amit, as you would understand.
Yeah, of course.
Different moon paths, excuse me. And they are in the Black Marsh where the walking god trees house cities.
Can the timing work out on that they could be twins but just have been born far enough apart?
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, we can, you know, the lore is there. Yeah. And with the Fallout 1, they've pushed it way further than that.
Exactly.
I think, yeah, one's a man, one's a house cat. They are twins.
They are both Khajiit.
They are both Khajiit. And
I was going to suggest, because I don't know any of this, was just a regular Khajiit little guy, and he's addicted to moonshine or whatever it is.
Skooma? Yes, dude.
And that's our little scumbag that we follow initially. Mm. But now I'm being lumped with man and house cat who are also Khajiit.
They are both Khajiit, dude.
Thank you.
I reckon it'd be very easy if the main characters are Khajiit to work in another classic Elder Scrolls thing of having, what's it called, Marik the Liar?
Oh, yeah.
Who is a character who appears in every Elder Scrolls game, and he is maybe aware that he's in a video game, and he has just a lot of esoteric or odd, strange things to say. He often comments on people's commentary of the games.
Yeah.
Okay, so, for example, in the first Elder Scrolls game where you could jump, Marik the Liar has some line where he's like, oh, I can jump now. That feels so strange to me.
So Marik is basically your Elder Scrolls Deadpool.
Yes, in a way.
In a way, yeah. A lot less intrusive than Deadpool is. Yeah.
Well, that's much nicer.
Yeah.
More just like you literally every
Oh, we're in high def kind of thing.
He always has an incredibly high speed compared to the player. So what'll happen is you'll encounter him, you'll speak to him once, he'll have one line, the conversation will end, and then he just legs it.
All right. All right then. Okay.
Yep, that sounds good.
Sounds wonderful.
I'm just trying to think. I want to go as weird as possible.
Yeah.
So let's have it's an invasion from, let's get Sheogorath in there, okay?
Okay.
The god of chaos and
madness.
Cheese or whatever and madness. Okay.
Did you say cheese?
Yeah,
he likes
cheese.
Cheese!
Grommet!
I thought I misheard.
No, he didn't.
Yeah,
he likes cheese. Let's set it in the Black Marsh because it's the weirdest there.
Yep.
And let's have three things happening at once. One, the Empire is attempting an invasion on Black Marsh.
Yeah.
The Black Marsh is resisting.
What's the invasion for?
That's just they're expanding
their. Is this a new season? Or is this. Building on
this is my pitch.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm sorry. Forgive me.
So the Empire, I guess you would have to set this after Skyrim and have the Empire.
I don't think you have to set it anywhere.
Well, anyway, whatever. The Empire is expanding into Black Marsh. Black Marsh is resisting. At the same time, what's the secret?
It could be when they first conquered Black Marsh,
What's the secret conspiracy of elves?
What are they called?
What do you mean?
The Elf Illuminati,
who are trying to, because see, the thing about elves, Zamet, is that they are closer to God than men, but they've been cut off kind of from the, anybody that's like physical in the Elder Scrolls, it's like kind of an accident, sort of.
Anyone that's physical.
Yeah, like
so anyone kind of, that's in the realm of Mundus.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
if you've been turned, because originally.
The Old Mary Dominion.
The Old Mary Dominion, yeah.
Old Mary Dominion.
The Old Mary Dominion.
Old Mary.
And they're trying to destroy Greensap Tower, which is the reality sort of support.
Oh, is it?
There's 12 towers.
Yeah, Thalmor.
The Thalmor, that's what I was trying to think of. So there's like a, I think maybe 8 towers, something like that are supporting reality.
Yeah. Like it's a ceiling. They support structure.
They're supporting ceiling because on the outside of.
Are they under reality or in reality?
They're in reality. One of them's a mountain. So.
Oh, so they're not actual towers.
No, but one of them is a tower, the White Gold Tower. One of them's a mountain. Two of them are mountains, I think.
So.
One was a volcano, yeah.
The Elmiri Dominion are where the high elves live.
Yeah.
The Elmiri Dominion has a secretive shadow society kind of in control of it called the Thalmor. The White Gold Concordat is the agreement that the Elmiri Dominion make with the Empire when they turn on the Empire and nearly completely destroy them.
Mm-hmm.
The White Gold Concordat ensures that the Empire continues. This is after the secession crisis.
Of course.
Yeah. And the Thalmor are attempting, they've got this sort of grand conspiracy that you get hints to across the games, to destroy these towers so that they can unmake reality and sort of get rid of this sort of humankind so that they can go back to just when everybody was sort of like...
Metaphysic?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Right.
You know, sort of the beliefs of Scientologists...
Zenu put everyone's soul in rocks. We're gonna get in trouble.
Tom Cruise is gonna personally
Tom
kill
Cruise
me with a
will
knife.
Kill us
just
with a crossbow.
I like your PSA about the host. Please don't kill me with a crossbow.
Tom Cruise will kill us with a crossbow.
Yeah, he'll do it.
For other unrelated reasons.
Yeah,
that's
just like a that's whatever.
Hey, heard you were talking shit.
No.
No, yeah, the spirits are in a thing. They got a god of volcano.
Yeah,
and got
kind of
Zenu
that happened in the Elder Scrolls.
Okay.
Anyway, so they're trying to destroy the towers. So we have the Thalmor trying to destroy the Greensap Tower, which I think is the name of the one in the Black Marsh, at the same time as the Empire attacking. And caught in the middle of this all is a house cat and a human being who are both Khajiit.
It sounds like an 80s like buddy cop movie almost somehow, you know?
Absolutely.
And the house cat and the human who are both Khajiit, like what are they? Are they detectives? Are they like it's a buddy cop thing?
No,
are they
I think they're just humble farmers?
This is
the opening episode one.
Yeah.
And they're just brothers, the young guys. And they're in Black Marsh because, let's say they're looking for their family.
Pilot.
They're disappeared. This is the pilot. They're brothers. Let's call them, Khajiit have funny names. Let's call them like,
what's an example of a Khajiit name?
They're kind of like, What do you call the cats in, that's kind of Tabaxi names.
So they're very Tabaxi-esque.
Like walks in, that's actually.
No, not really. Yeah, I don't think so.
Isn't it? I thought that was. Maybe I'm
pretty
wrong.
Pretty sure.
All right. Like so we have like I don't know Jeremy and Ms. Fluffles.
Okay.
Let me give you some examples of Khajiit.
Okay.
Rissad Akari.
Okay.
Kahajo.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Jizago.
Okay, we'll call them Kahajo and Jizago. Okay. Trivago. We'll call one of them Trivago.
A little bit of pro
to get some
pro
branding in there.
As the producer on this show, that's clever.
Okay, and then they're in the Black Marsh because they're trying to figure out where their parents went, and they find a lizard. Okay, and this is the third character. Okay.
It's a lizard.
But it's just beast race car.
It's just a lizard. Yeah, it's all beast race. It's just a lizard, and the lizard. Somehow, maybe one of the hist trees communicates to them that they need to get it to a hist tree
so that it can become
an Argonian.
Yep, cool.
Okay, so they take, that's the main
quest of season one. I was curious to be like, so with the Argonians, are they start off as lizards and then they become Argonians once they eat this?
In this instance, Zamet, for your safety, yes.
And so the idea is to get the mission is to make this lizard an Argonian.
They're
on a mission from a tree. Yeah.
Any lore questions, whatever the most infuriating answer would be, that's your answer, my friend.
So we have Trivago and Zhivago, and they're like Dr. Zhivago, and they're lying in the roots of a tree with their new lizard pal. They don't know it's an Argonian yet. And as they sleep, the tree's roots clamber into their ears and whisper to them, bring it to this tree so it can eat my sap and become a man.
Yeah.
And when they do that, they get the Argonian lizard, they get it to bite the tree, and the Argonian lizard, when it becomes a man, it goes, holy fuckeroli, there's some Aldmeri, the bad elves, the elves or whatever.
We're getting some, there's dialogue, baby, we're getting dialogue.
The bad elves are coming.
Dialogue along.
The bad elves are coming.
Thalmor. Holy fuckeroli, Aldmeri Kavinian or whatever I said.
The Thalmor are coming, and they're going to try and destroy this tree. You've got to help me, boys. And they go, we're just two Argonian guys. I mean, Khajiit.
Yeah.
How are we going to do this?
What if they ate the sap? You know what? I don't want to know. Go on.
I don't know what would happen, dude.
The most frustrating answer. The most frustrating answer.
I think the
Hiss
trees don't want... sometimes it does work, I think. I think that's partially how in the lore of the world, the Argonians kept the Empire out of the Black Marsh. Anyway, it's like one of the few provinces that resisted the Empire's rule. Anyway, so they...
How was that an answer? How was that an answer?
See,
what?
I was right. The most frustrating response you could have gotten. That was frustrating, was it not?
No, I don't know.
That was frustrating.
Baffling, baffling. I would argue, rather frustrating.
You sound frustrated, but all right.
I would say baffling. I'm baffled because I'm like, that. What happened?
Buddy,
then?
I'm
more curious now of like, how?
Yeah.
I'm not going to ask that. Go on.
And then in their adventuring to try and find... Maybe somehow they also like their parents were taken by elves, so they're like, "Oh, we gotta go find." And so as part of this, also they encounter in their adventuring one of Shi'Agorath's sort of goons, who I forget they look like guys with no skin or whatever, and they go, "Oh fuck, there's actually more going on in here than I goddamn realized."
Yeah.
This dialogue comes from the house cat. Yeah. He swears like a
sailor. Look at this.
Oh, fuck my ass, dude. Looks like we're in fucking trouble. Jesus fucking Christ.
You've seen this cunny over here?
Yeah, Jesus.
My lord.
Fuck my fucking balls. Yeah. I want this cat character, this house, to be the least... I don't want this to be like a Grogu situation. I want people to be like, I hate this cat. Okay? I want him to shut up. That's what I'm doing here. It's marketing or whatever.
Yeah.
And then
doesn't Shi'Agorath have the fuckable minions?
I think some of them are fuckable.
Yeah. They just make them horny.
Okay. Yeah.
Like, what does that mean?
They just look super horny.
Okay. A question about the man cat.
Yeah.
Because in my head, he was for some reason nude.
He could be. In fact, Samid, I'll take that note on board. Okay. He is.
That was more of a question because I was like, "Well, they're a cat. They've got fur." Wait, no. This.
I'm taking this to the director of the episode. I'm like, we got a note from one of the producers. No, he wants him naked.
We're getting a note from this producer, and people want hog.
Okay. My question is then, like, what's the nipples situation like?
I think he just has two nipples. Okay. I think it's regular.
Yeah,
unfortunately,
the female Khajiit have classical human style breasts.
Yeah. So do the Argonians, which doesn't make any sense.
Yeah,
produce
that makes
a
no
note
sense.
Then.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
We'll make it sort of scientifically, biologically accurate.
Yeah.
Give them six nipples. Yeah.
Well, I mean, like, biologically accurate kind of goes out the window.
when you can
give birth to a house cat, a mountain lion, or a man.
No, we understand this. It's all about moons
when
or whatever.
What moon you're born
exactly.
on,
so, whatever. I mean, so, if it really matters to you, they can all have fat hogs and tits.
Goodness, dude.
So a lot of nipples down, like, you know, the humanoid cat.
Well, I want nipples on.
Have you been messing with your hair? Because you look like you're really put upon right now.
I think Trivago the house cat should have really saggy nipples that drag in the mud.
You look like this episode is killing. There it is. You look like this episode is killing you
a little bit. Can the house cat Khajiit?
Yeah,
because my wonderful cats, they get this lovely little paunch. I want that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, she'll have a paunch.
Primordial
don't worry.
Pouch.
Yeah, like that'd be very obvious.
Yeah.
Do you keep in your primordial pouch?
And will people sing that in the show?
It's the secrets.
Oh, okay.
I gotta know, babe. Yeah.
Yes. What's this?
I don't know. It's what a meme he's seen or doing? A TikTok or something.
Is this Adam original?
Does he do a lot of songs on this show?
No.
We should do more.
Not necessarily.
We've created many songs over the years, but most of them are on Plumbing.
Not about a
primordial
pouch.
Yeah.
Primordial pouch.
Pouch. Sorry. Not a pouch.
Anyway, so then Trivago, Zhivago, and. Was a lizard.
Do you want examples? You don't care.
No, are the Argonian names like how I thought Khajiit names were? I think that might be the case.
Well, this thing was a lizard.
Yeah, so it's at least was accurate. A lizard. Anyway, they make it to the green sap grove where the green sap tree is there or whatever. And as they arrive, maybe these two Khajiit, they see their parents.
Yeah.
In cages, let's say.
Why not?
And they go, oh my God, holy shit. But they're like, maybe Shigorath has made a deal with them where he's like, I can give you something, some spell or some shit or a dagger to get rid of the elves.
Yeah.
And they get there, they're about to do it, but then the elves knock the dagger out of their hand and cast a spell on them and teleport them somewhere else in the province. And now they have the knowledge and they know how to stop them, but they're a million miles away. Mm-hmm. And you go, fuck my ass, I cannot wait for season two.
Would you like examples of Argonian names?
Yes, please.
Mir Glim. Hitamin.
Okay.
Was a lizard not too far off?
Yeah, was a lizard.
How about this? So when they, you know, they split, get the teleportation, what if they split up?
Great idea. So, they get flung to...
So one goes one way, other one another, and then part of season two, which is already green lit, I can only assume, is they have to come together.
Yeah.
And maybe one of them has the knife.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how only one of them has the knowledge, but one of them has the knife.
One of them has the knowledge and one of them has the map.
Oh, can you split up a knife into three ways?
Yes.
Fantastic. Handle, blade, tip of blade.
Yeah, perfect.
I think you should do if you split up a dagger three ways, people might start assume, oh wait, no, it doesn't get broken up, does it?
Isn't Mehrunes, no, I know what you mean. Mehrunes razor or something?
Yeah, there's a dagger that gets split up.
Well, make it Mehrunes razor. Who gives a fuck? And then I think when they get split up, one of them should go to Hammerfell in the past. One of them should go to the Nord origin country that I think is also in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And let's
this
send,
is good. Okay, let's.
One more guy.
I spoke too soon. Go on.
So we'll send the other one to that coral atoll where the gigantic fish people live.
Yep.
To Akaviri where there's Yeti men
in the
future.
I was like, in the past, that is good. They have a lot of time to come
together.
Akaviri
have a future?
In the
future.
Akaviri,
Adam, is the future.
Oh, no.
Oh,
The fuck did you just say?
In a metaphysical sense, Akaviri, which is Tamriel's and the Elder Scrolls sort of like Asia analog, full of snake people, that is the future.
So it's a place.
I thought it was also destroyed. Isn't it gone?
No. Akaviri.
They destroyed
Not
their
at all, dude.
That's funny because that's where the blades come from.
Yeah.
The blades being a faction and
the
not a weapon.
Bodyguards of the Emperor.
Mm-hmm. You're thinking maybe of Yokuda, which is the past, which is where the men from Hammerfell came from.
Okay, wait, there's maybe. A past place?
Yeah, Yokuda is the past, which is where we've sent Trivago, let's say.
And that's a place.
That's a place.
Yeah. But it's also the past.
Yeah, and the Red Guards surfed the changing world. To arrive in Tamriel in the present.
Surfed.
I think it is something like that. Or they.
Wait, what do you mean? As in like what you
like
do?
Imagine like imagine the change from one world, from the fourth world to the fifth, was a wave. They rode that wave.
Fourth world and the fifth?
Yeah.
Okay.
And Akaviri is the sixth, but it's also a real place.
When you say world,
I mean like a reality,
planet?
I guess.
Reality.
Yeah.
I think you should do a B-plot with like something to do with that invasion where it's like someone kind of realizing that, hey, this is like just a pretext to do something that the Thalmor are doing. And I like that if you ending season one with that B plot wrapping up as whoever figured out whoever's like, that are like just at the edge of uncovering the conspiracy and then the Thalmor will find out and kill them.
Yeah, I think that's good.
And then you can have a new B-plot season
What
two.
About this? So to get even more weirdness in there, we discover through this person's B-plot that the Thalmor have actually been working with Shi'a-Gorath.
Sure.
And when they this guy discovers what they're doing, the Thalmor, instead of killing him, they fire a beam from the Wabbajack, which is the Tir Gorath's special weapon. Which
every god has a special weapon.
Oh, yeah.
And this turns the guy who's uncovered the conspiracy into a rabbit.
Sure.
Because now...
Or a wheel of cheese.
Or a wheel of cheese. Now this wheel of cheese, if we can figure out a way to turn him back, he knows the secrets.
Could. I like the B story ending season one and then a new fair B enough, story. Fair enough. But I mean, like, it's your show.
Could you, instead of a rabbit or a wheel of cheese, and this has to be, could you turn that into a lizard and that lizard needs to go bite a sap to turn him into
a That's a great idea. That's a
and
great
that's
idea.
That's a way to get the knowledge. And maybe because we're doing with time shit, that could be... Was a lizard.
Yeah, okay. There you go. That's the big reveal of season two.
Yeah.
And that we call
I'm
it...
joining in.
Elder Scrolls.
The show.
The show.
The Elder Scrolls, the show, the cat, the lizard.
What if we just call it the Elder Scrolls show?
Have like a cartoon intro.
Yeah, yeah.
Elder Scrolls, the show.
One of them's a cat with dragging nipples. One of them's a cat, but actually a man.
They're all like running towards the screen, one by one, being introduced by like jumping in the air.
Yeah.
Beautiful stuff.
Hey, if you liked any of our pitches and you want to expand on them or comment on them, or if we, I'm sure we got, at least me and Adam got some Elder Scrolls lore wrong, if you want to yell
also
at
us. Also hit us up with your Argonian or Khajiit name.
Yeah, please do. Yeah, you can email us at bsboyspod@gmail.com.
Leave them in the comments if you're watching on YouTube.
Or on Spotify, you can leave comments as well. If you'd like to support us, you can subscribe to Baseless Speculation Plus, where you get a ad-free episodes and access to an infrequent, but not that infrequent, episode of our bonus podcast where I watch Shang-Chi.
Of course he does.
And then I tell you about what I fucking thought of it.
Yeah, he loves to, to his good friend that he's watching once again Shang-Chi, and we come down and I don't know why I do this, but then I will often watch Shang-Chi in preparation to refresh my memory on that.
That's
movie
on you, brother.
And to sit down, and then he says, "I've watched Disney's Dinosaurs." Yeah. And I go, "Oh, never mind."
That's the latest
Can
episode.
I give you
Disney's Dinosaurs. Yeah.
An impression of Jackson telling us about the bonus
Please
show.
Please do.
All right. Yeah.
And then you can watch sometimes our, you know, occasional side show where we. That's
go
my impression.
My phone.
Yeah, go on my phone. Well, I had to freaking emails. People email in at bsboyspod@gmail.com.
Couldn't do that after you were done talking.
No, and of course, you could, of course, support us either through our website, Sans Pants Radio, directly there, or through Apple Podcasts.
Just a click.
Just a click as well.
And you'd be doing us a huge favor. Okay, we got some funny emails, some crazy emails today. Crazy in that they feel, I don't know. Anyway, we'll go through them. So the first email, I guess anonymous because they haven't signed with their name.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a stock image of a child at a computer, like a baby. And then they've got the caption, "Just went to the beach that makes you young." That's it.
Well, I guess it's very similar to the beach that makes you old.
Yeah, but is it based off a riff we did?
Potentially. I don't remember what we did in the start of this episode.
Hey, that's a good point.
So I reckon the beach that makes you young is either maybe or potentially a great pitch for another movie.
Yes, that's like, true.
Yeah, M. Night Shyamalan's The Young Beach.
The Young Beach, that makes you young.
What do we think?
I think, well... Well, I'm just remembering what happens in the beach that makes you old.
Oh, what happens in the end? It's real stupid.
It's really stupid. It's like the babies grow up to be adults and then swim away somehow.
Yeah, what isn't the reason they're doing it? There was a reason they're making these people go old. Was it to study an illness? I remember.
Yeah,
it's
got something to do with magnets, maybe.
Anyway.
Yeah.
I never saw it.
Yeah.
But I like The Beach That Makes You Young. I think that would be really good.
How do you know that then?
Yeah, I don't know. Dude. Probably Dusha told us. I don't fucking know.
Tackle fucks too long.
Where is I just damn
do you want to come up with your Argonian name with me? I bet there's
okay.
An
you
Argonian
do that while I try and find what? This email that I was I'm trying to
name
read.
Generator.
Okay. What? How do you? What do you mean? What? What do you?
All right. First okay. name Joel.
Yeah. Oh. So. Yep. Okay.
Surname Zamet. Yeah, Zamet. Yeah. Your Argonian name is He War Magnes.
What if awesome, what we do Joel Perbazamet? Does that change?
Oh
things?
Yeah. Hang on. Sorry.
Yeah. Curious to see.
I was just what I was trying to find with this email is if they'd signed it, but they just hadn't. So it's okay. Another anonymous email, but we'll get this.
Yeah. I'm assuming it would probably be something similar.
Beamsy Netherlures.
Awesome, dude. Beamsy. I'm Beamsy the Blizzard Man. Okay. This is the next email. Yeah. This is the sort of topic of it is Naked Gun reboot sucked ass.
Oh, yeah.
Why it get good reviews? I know Adam hated it.
Yeah.
I thought it was very funny. But clearly, some
Everyone
people didn't like it.
You can die and piss.
I guess heard both. I've heard
sure,
but both sides.
Of course.
where I've heard it's very very funny. I've heard it's very like you know, hey, we just don't really make these movies like you know like the City of War, but it's refreshing almost.
That's how I found.
I haven't seen it, but I feel I will probably fall on the Jackson camp of this.
I thought it was funny.
Camp of this.
Yeah.
So was that the question was why did it get
well,
good reviews?
Well, they then go to say, didn't laugh once. My theater was silent the entire time. Mm. When I was walking out, I heard a couple say that they got bored and wanted more action. Bizarre criticism, but fair enough.
Okay.
But it has an 88% critic and 73% audience rating.
Yeah.
At least it's short, not even 90 minutes, 85.
Oh.
Then they go on to, and this is why this is equally unhinged, maybe we asked people to do this... I couldn't tell you. One, Haley Joel Osment.
Okay, yes.
Two, Joel Schumacher. Okay. Three, Joel Last of Us Miller. Four, Jolene. I'm begging you, please don't take my man. Five, Joel. Six, Ape Joel. Seven, also Joel. 700, Joel McHale.
Interesting.
And
I think we're ranking
also,
Joels.
They're written in different fonts for some reason.
I
could not tell you what's going
sizes.
On there.
Maybe we asked people to rank their Joels. I don't remember.
Yeah.
Thank you, I guess, for putting me below an ape.
Yeah, that is good. Yeah.
That's fair.
I don't know. I thought that the Naked Gun movie was like refreshingly stupid in a world where we don't really get that kind of comedy anymore. I thought that, what's his name? Liam Neeson. I thought he was like a really... funny protagonist. Mm. Not every joke landed for me, but there were so many that it kind of didn't matter. Like I was just laughing consistently enough. The wordplay was funny. The like kind of stupid
slapstick kind of
and background jokes. Like it was just consistently.
You a fan of like? You remember at least like some like the Naked Gun?
Yeah,
with Liam.
Yeah, I liked the old Naked Guns. I don't remember them super
like,
well, but
I
and Airplane
say,
and stuff like that. Like,
how does it compare?
I honestly found it pretty similar. Like,
I would agree there.
Yeah, it feels a bit more modern, I guess, like just in terms of it is a more modern movie.
You could believe it was made by all the same people.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's weird going through a comedy and no one is laughing because I also feel that will add to the vibe.
Absolutely.
Of it.
That'll make it seem
like,
way
if
worse.
Someone else isn't doing anything or is not packed, whatever. I don't know. Comedy is such like a hard, like.
Oh, yeah.
Genre sometimes to get because what you get it's all subjective so it would really like if you're the only one having a good time then you're like
I don't want to.
It's that weird thing of like you know is it like oh hey is this gonna sound strange but every morning in the shower like I smile to myself and just the action of doing that makes me have a good day right. You see that online,
people
advice, whatever. I've never, you know, but I don't do it because I'm like, that sounds weird.
It seems stupid, but it probably works.
But it probably works. Same thing about doing that, like power stance. Mm. You know, people are like, oh no, actually, it does actually trick your brain.
Well, I know definitely smiling tricks your brain into thinking you're happy. Yeah. Like,
maybe
it's like,
brain's
this,
so
oh, brain's an idiot, dude.
Yeah,
I used to do that when I worked at the bank, and I was in a pretty severe depression.
Mm.
I would. If I ever had to walk into the vault to do anything, I would stand in the vault alone and I would say, you're going to have a good day. You're going to have a good day.
Did it work? Mantras.
Sometimes, at least.
Had a good day.
I'm still alive.
Well, that's
had
pretty
a
good
day.
Dude. Yeah, fucking take it. I think that the Naked Gun movie does have a very specific kind of humor. And if you don't find that kind of humor funny, and you can kind of tell pretty immediately, then you're just not going to have a good time.
Like you'll just bounce
off. I think there's, because I hated the original Naked Guns as well. Oh, not hated. I dislike all the Naked Gun movies. Yeah. But the same creator has also made Airplane and Top Secret.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Where, or Flying High, if you will, and Top Secret, which I think Airplane and Top Secret have, it feels very similar, but it is actually noticeably a different type of comedy.
Yeah, yeah, for
sure. Yeah, the Naked Gun would have like the from the trailer, that Liam Neeson bit where he, you know, comes in as the little schoolgirl or whatever, tears off his mask and it's Liam Neeson.
Mm.
Whereas Top Secret has one of my favorite jokes ever in anything, where the main characters are trying to like sneak into a secret base, military base, and they're like crawling up and they bump into, it's shot close up on them, they bump into a pair of like army boots. And then it slowly pans out, and it's just a pair of army boots sitting there. That's different to me.
Yeah, I kind of... Hey, I think Liam Neeson being the little girl is... I don't know if it's just because I saw it in the trailer a lot. It's like one of the weaker jokes in it.
Yeah.
But the moment I knew I was going to love the Naked Gun movie is when he's like fighting off the bank robbers in the very first scene, and they like pull a gun on him, and he flicks it out of the way. And then somebody pulls a gun on him again, and he just grabs the gun and tears it in half. And I was like, that's funny. I'm going to enjoy this movie. But if that's not your style of humor,
yeah,
then
I guess
you won't.
Hey, this is the buy-in. If that bounces off you,
then you're out.
There are a few moments that I enjoy. Like the, I think we already had this conversation where he kicks out the window. He's like trapped in that self-driving car. He kicks out the front window and like, you know, gets hit by bugs or something like that. And then there's some people, you know, there's that classic trope in a movie of people carrying a plane of glass across a road, except they're carrying a windscreen, which then
it's like the windscreen goes out, bees go in, like a bunch of gas goes in, and he's like, "Whoa,
that was funny. I like that."
And then the windscreen goes on top,
and he's like, "He's trapped."
That's funny.
That's funny, dude.
That's funny.
And last email, this is from Samuel. Hi, BS boys. After listening to the Tron episode, I thought I should mention to you guys that I have a cousin named Matthew Jackson. Although for some reason, he has the nickname Chewy. I've never called him Matthew my entire life. I thought his name was Chewy until I was like 16. Just a dumb little thing I was thinking of when you were talking about your Matthew Jackson.
Yeah.
My brother is hyped to see the new Tron. I know it will be bad, but I will watch it with him. Wish you guys the best, Samuel. Well, that's another potential Jackson person that I could start one of the world's greatest podcasts
with. Unfortunately, if Matt Jackson, that we know, gets in there first, they could then do, like,
we are both named Matthew Jackson. We're going to Edinburgh Fringe and going to have the greatest show on Earth.
Yeah, like, and they only need, like, Matt Jackson. They don't need, you know, Matt Jackson Bailey.
I'm fucked.
They just have Matt Jackson.
I'm fucked on this.
That's
boys.
It.
I'm pretty fucked.
I'm fucked on this.
Can I ask why you are you both agreeing that you? Because I basically know nothing about this Neutron movie. I've not really looked into it at all. Both of you are.
Leto is the lead.
Jared Leto is.
I was about to ask.
Yeah.
How do you know?
Jared Leto's the main guy. Yeah.
So
again, I wonder who he. I wonder who he mailed condoms to this time.
yeah. To really get into character of being a person from the internet.
Yeah. Dude, it's gonna stink. Which is a shame because we recently watched the two Trons and I had a good time with them.
Yeah, and like, hey, maybe his contribution to the film is very small. And like they're there for some reason. They're just using him in marketing as like he's going to be the main
producer. Like he's
He could be like a producer that isn't in
maybe
the film
he's just
as
in
much.
It for money.
Because like other people are in this film that I remember being like, oh, that would be.
Yeah, there's some good actors in there, but it's a good cast other than Jared Leto. But he's going to wreck down.
I think frustratingly,
Evan
Peters
is in it. So like, if you go to IMDb, and I know that might mean nothing. But, like just the top cast, like. Jared Leto is third.
Okay, third billing.
And that's
but he is the Ares in Tron.
But Tron, like the character,
that's a good point. He's barely in the Tron movies.
He's barely in.
That's a good point.
He's barely in, like, you know, Tron 2. And often Tron, he spends most of the time Tron 2 as Rinsler.
Yeah, he is Rinsler.
Whoa, they got Jeff Bridges to come back again?
Yeah, sure. And he exploded in Tron Legacy, so
man.
We'll see what happens there.
Digital jazz, man.
Is this a good Jeff Bridges?
Hasan Minhaj is in it?
I'm Jeff Bridges. He actually has got that kind of...
That's better.
I'm Jeff Bridges.
Oh! Yeah, that's the one where he kind of talks back on the...
I'm Jeff Bridges.
Yeah.
You need a kind of... You need to fill your mouth with air more.
Yeah.
Or Jeff Bridges.
Too much.
That's well, it's closer though.
Yeah.
I think.
Man, the rug really tied the room together.
Man.
The rug. I feel like I can almost do Jeff Bridges in that Cowboy Coen Brothers movie.
Hell or High Water.
No, wrong. Oh. We watched it together kind of recently.
Oh, True Grit.
Yeah, True Grit, Jeff Bridges, where he goes, well, you know, little lady, I don't know if I can be your bounty hunter. I'm an alcoholic or a snake pitcher.
I like Bad Times at the El Royale?
Oh, yeah.
Times at the El Royale.
That was it.
Yeah, I like his like stunned face he sometimes does. It's just a good face.
Is he in that one?
Yeah, he's the preacher.
He's the preacher, bro. Wow.
Oh, he is too. Yeah. Yes, you're right.
So, like, yeah. I love that his, movie. like stunned little face he does. It's good.
Well.
Like, he's just all like.
He does a lot of.
Yeah, he's good. This might sound odd. Yeah. I don't know. But he's a very good mouth actor.
He's a great mouth actor.
Have
one of the best.
Have you seen Hell or High Water?
No, I don't think so.
It's a good Jeff Bridges movie.
I like Jeff Bridges.
I remember Bad Time at the El Royale. Apparently most people didn't like that.
That's
film,
crazy.
Really.
I thought that movie was great.
I had a lovely time with that film.
And Chris Hemsworth.
Oh, God damn.
Come
Goddess.
Jesus Christ. I remember the moment Chris Hemsworth comes in shirtless, gripping the arms of I was like that, you know that lady that saw Michael B. Jordan in.
Oh, yes.
In Black Panther.
And tore through her.
Hard.
Through a retainer?
Yeah, destroyed her retainer because she was just so.
Like, goddamn. I get that.
I was like, that's what Chris Hemsworth did. It's a lot of hotties out there. Well,
a lot of hotties.
Thank you so much for coming on Baseless
Speculation. Thank you for having
speaking
me.
Of hotties.
Speaking of hotties, obviously people can hear you and me and Zamet on D&D is for Nerds, a Dungeons & Dragons role play podcast we do here on the Sandspans Radio Network. They can also hear you on the Further Adventures of the Greyhill Free Company.
They can
hear you on Beyond the Map, which is a horror-themed
lots of role-playing
stuff.
Thing
lots of
tabletop
RPGs.
Yeah, dude. All over the fucking
place.
Find
me also at Retro Archetype on various social medias.
Absolutely.
I'm doing Blue Sky now.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, definitely. Well, 100%. Locking in?
I'm locking in. I'm doing Blue Sky. I made a Blue Sky the other day.
Oh,
it was
sweet.
Very funny.
I got like an invite real early on for Blue Sky, and I just can't be fucked.
I think my last tweet got 7 likes.
Oof.
Bro.
No, I kind of love it. It's like being a guy in the wasteland. That's what it feels like, dude.
Ooh.
Except instead of meeting ghouls, you're meeting robots that are like, the cat hates the mouse, and then show you Tom and Jerry.
Oh.
And on that note, I've been Jackson Bailey.
I've been Joel Zammett.
I've been Adam, or as the Argonian call me, Woodner Androleash.
And well, we've been the Elder Scroll Boys.
Yeah.
Goodbye.